Morning, Council. This is the Finance Committee meeting, February 7th, 2023. I'd like to call the meeting to order and begin by acknowledging that we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. I do have regrets from Wendy Oikle, and on our Microsoft Teams, we have Councillor Greek and Councillor Staton. Am I correct? Yes? Okay, good. Okay, we do have an added item. Oh, announcements, acknowledgements, and recognitions. Oh, Councillor DeLong.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to provide an update from MICA, the Mahone Island Conservation Association, from their fall newsletter, saying we are very pleased to report 6 registered public moorings have recently been deployed, and they want to thank the municipality for their support in this endeavor. MICA offers sincere thanks to the municipality, District of Lunenburg, municipality of Chester, and the Nova Scotia Department of Natural Resources and Renewables for their great partnership and foresight in helping to make the MICA Islands a more accessible place to the public. Thank you.
Anybody else? Councillor Haysom.
Thank you. I'd just like to acknowledge the amazing Family Fun Day that was held at the LCLC. Mm-hmm. This is two weekends ago now, mm-hmm. I guess. It was such a fun event. I saw a lot of you there. There was so much going on. There was so much for families. Everybody was having a fun time. It was even worth waiting in line to go swim with the mermaids. It was just a really, really fun event, and I think that it took a lot of work and volunteer hours and coordination. So I'd just like to acknowledge everyone that was involved with that, mm-hmm. both at the staff level at the LCLC and all the volunteers as well, because mm-hmm. it was super fun, and I really hope we see more events like that. It was great.
Mayor Balla-Vagetson?
I would just like to piggyback on Councillor Haysom's comments. It was probably only the second time in the LCLC history that I've seen that many people outside of a concert, the para hockey, but they were lined up literally 4 across from the desk down, going out the doors in the back. Town of Bridgewater and MODL partnered to put this on. It was with the LCLC, it was a wonderful event. From Mr. J, who I think they had 400 people on the floor of the arena for a magician. And it's the first time they've ever split the ice. So they had the floor down on half the ice, and they skated. They had free public skate on the other half the whole time. And they actually were standing on skates watching the magic show or listening to the music and doing whatever. So it's actually opened the door for more events that can happen from that perspective. But yes, from the mermaids to the rec staff that were outside, I said the only thing missing was the snow. And I know that we can't control Mother Nature, but I'm glad it wasn't this weekend at minus 40 as well. But hats off to everyone involved because they did a wonderful job.
Okay. And I think we need to thank you to Deputy Mayor Hubley for showing up and escorting people to where they need to go. And yep. All right. Anybody else? Okay. So now public input. I see none. And approval of the agenda with an added item.
Yep. Thank you. I'd like to add a presentation from the Property Valuation Services Corporation at 10:15 by Paul Beasley and Rod Trombley.
All right. Motion to approve the agenda with the added item. Moved by Councillor, it's going to be one of those days, Bell. Seconded by Deputy Mayor Hubley. All those in favor? Councillor Greek?
Yes.
Councillor Staton?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried unanimously. Approval of the minutes of December 6, 2022. What's your wishes?
So moved.
Moved by Mayor Balla-Vagetson, seconded by Councillor DeLong. All those in favor? Councillor Greek?
Yes.
Councillor Staton?
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously. Business arising from the minutes. No tenders, no presentations until 10:15. Consideration of correspondence. 9.1, Riverport Electric Light Commission, request for a financial assistance. And Elena.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we received an application for assistance with financing of the five-year capital plan from Riverport Electric Light Commission. Historically, the municipality has been able to support a debenture issue for them in the Riverport Electric Light Act by guaranteeing payment of interest and principal of debentures issued under the provisions of that part. The Electric Light Commission has extensive five-year capital plan coming up, so they are looking for actually funding for $350,000. They cannot apply to Municipal Finance Corporation or the Municipal Financing because they don't qualify as a municipality. So they were hoping that perhaps the Municipality of Lunenburg might help them in this regard. And essentially that's the meat of what they're looking for.
Okay. Discussion. Hearing none, in that case, I would ask Councillor Wynot if he would put this motion on the floor.
To the Chair and members of the Finance Committee, I move that the Finance Committee refer the request from Riverport Electric Light Commission for financial assistance to staff to review and report back to the February 28, 2023 Council meeting with a recommendation. And I shall move.
Seconded? Seconded by Councillor Hubley, Deputy Mayor Hubley. Discussion?
I do, but I can't get my hand up.
Okay. Go ahead, Councillor Statton.
Can you explain to me if they're looking for a loan or they're looking for an outright grant?
I believe that through your worship, that they are looking for perhaps a lower rate of interest that they could borrow on their own. So they were looking perhaps if the municipality could loan them the money.
So it's a loan, not a actual give them the money. They're looking for a loan. Is that what you're saying?
That's our understanding. Yes.
Can we make sure that the motion says that it's a loan, not an outright grant? Because I would feel better making sure they can loan the money, but I don't feel good about giving them that much money.
Yes, the motion is to, Councillor Statton, the motion is to review it and bring it back. So...
That's great. Okay. That's great. Thanks. Okay. I don't have the motions in front of me. That's why I was asking.
The motion was the Finance Committee refer the request from Riverport Electric to staff and bring it back.
Okay.
Any more discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor? Councillor Greek?
Yes.
Councillor Statton?
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously. We now go down to 11.1.1 Operating Variance Reports Third Quarter. And we have Elena, our Financial Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you have before you the third quarter Operating Fund Variance Report to December 31st, 2022. As you know, staff forecast the amounts based on our best information at the time. I can share my screen if you'd like to.
Sure.
So we can go through the report. It starts on page 24 of your agenda package. I'm plugged in as a clerk, yes.
There we go.
Great.
There we go.
Wonderful. Okay, so when we look at our operating revenues in the quarter, we can see that we did comment on things over $1,000 that had a variance of that, and we highlighted them for your information. So tax revenue is up slightly, up slightly from the actual budget. And that's just based on actual billing. Detransfer tax, we are estimating, is going to be about $900,000 more than we budgeted based on the actual received to date.
Go ahead.
So just to that, compared to the last quarter, Is that in line with where you thought we would be, or has it slowed some? I know slowing is good for the economy. It may not be good for our coffers, but it's definitely good for the economy to see.
Actually, we just received our January amount.
Yes.
It was just over $75,000, which is half of what we got last January. It is slowing down.
Yeah.
It is slowing down, that is for sure. So we don't expect it to be much more than the 2.9 forecast.
So budgetary-wise, we're probably going to readjust that figure to reflect the actual market. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. When we do our upcoming budget, we are going to have to reflect the actual market, and it might not be a $2 million budget. So that is something that we should be cognizant of as we go forward looking at our operating budgets. Other revenue, because the economy's doing really well and we have significant funds on deposit, we get interest at prime less 1.3%. We budgeted at 1.1% because prime was 2.4% last year. It's now at 6.45%. So we're certainly got a $900,000 variance in just interest revenue. There is a differential on some provincial grants, but that really is that $170,000 that we had that goes in and out that we had for a planning grant that we gave to another municipality for LIDAR. Tax exemptions are, and that gives us $1.8 million total revenue variance from over budget. So if we look at the expenditure side on this page, tax exemptions are over what we budgeted because we did give the treasurer the ability to go 10% over budget, so we're up to $15,000 and a budget overage $17,000. So we certainly are helping residents with their tax payments. Legal advisory services, there's a differential of $39,500 just because legal costs estimated have decreased based on actual costs. And administration, building supplies, and data processing is down $85,000. A lot of that has to do with some MODL 2040 planning sustainability initiatives that got deferred just based on our turnover and staffing over the year. Is there any more questions on, or any mm-hmm. questions on this page?
Any questions? Okay, continue.
Okay. So our insurance costs are up a bit, $9,200 over what we budgeted. Grants to organizations are down slightly.
I guess just back to the insurance piece and what I'm hearing through different organizations is that we should be expecting a 30% increase this year, which is a huge increase. Mm. Overall, when we're talking these type of dollars, and that's reflected to the fire departments as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and our renewal is in October, so we'll be contacting our insurer early to make sure that we have enough in our budget for insurance. Moving down to fire protection, Cookeville hydrant costs were $2,000 more than what we budgeted, but that is based on billing from Bridgewater Public Service Commission, and we do recover hydrant costs through area rates, which our accounting manager will be discussing in a few minutes.
Oh. Who? Councillor Greek.
Thank you. Ms. Wenzel, did you state that the grants are lower? And if so, is that because less organizations applied? Or the applications weren't approved?
Actually, through your worship, Councillor yes. Greek, this grant is there's $745,900 in the grant section, so it's a significant compilation of a lot of things, and one of them has to do with a trail grant that we carried over late last year of $55,000, but we'd already spent the money, so that $55,000 got paid out in March, so it didn't get paid out in April. And that was actually offset by a new transit grant that council gave for the purchase of a bus of $34,500. So the differential is $21,000. So essentially it's not that we gave any less grants out. It's just that the timing of one of the grants changed.
Oh, okay. Thank you for your explanation.
And Councillor Haysom?
Thank you. Just to sort of piggyback on that question, should I understand that there's a significant amount of grant funding to organizations that's still to go out, looking at those numbers?
Well, the actual to December 31st was $442,600. We're forecasting that all of them will get paid out. I know that a lot of the grants go out in like 75% up front,
yeah.
And then the 25% okay. gets paid when we receive their financial information. So I know that the staff and the Recreation Department are working on getting those grants paid out before the end of the year.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, continue.
Thank you. So there's a little overage in protective inspection services of $1,300 based.
Go ahead. And maybe I was asleep on this one.
Okay.
Election costs.
We're not having any more.
Didn't we always budget so much a year? Did we change that and now we do it all in 1 year?
No. No. Election costs, that would be the expenditure for the election there. But we do budget $50,000
so
a year as
a
transfer.
Or whatever.
Yes,
set
so
up
that's
for
sitting
that.
Down okay. in the transfers.
All right, that's fine. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay.
Continue.
Certainly. So the engineering common services, there's about a $16,000 savings sitting in there. We think that the provincial roads and the Nova Scotia Public Works paving partnerships will probably come in on budget. We did pay for some overages for the 2021 contracts, which was $146,000, and we have another $259,700 to pay out for Lester Getson and Forest View Drive. So we're waiting for those invoices to come. On the municipal road side, we are budgeting for a differential of about $92,600 just based on actual municipal road maintenance costs. Garbage and waste collection, a small variance of $2,500 for a decrease in advertising cost. We do know that the MJSDB does do a lot of advertising on our behalf, so we don't really need to do a lot on our own. Planning and zoning, that's where we see that $170,000 flood grant differential because we're not using it, we're not paying it out. Economic development, schools, CES building, and tourism. There is a significant differential. Most of it's the gas tax transfer of $450,000 or CCBF. So that's in and out under financing because the internet project didn't move as quick as they thought it would. So that payout's going to go in the next fiscal. So that's just them. It's just timing.
Municipal road maintenance. And I'm looking to our engineer probably for this one. The $426,100 that we budgeted, this is operating. We have 18 kilometers? 11 kilometers of municipal roads?
Yeah, approximately 11.
So when I do that math,
oh God, here we go. Just do math.
Divided by 11, that's $38,000 a kilometer.
That would be the average.
So we pay the province $5,500 something for our J-class roads to maintain, and I know that it's not the same standard. Mm-hmm. I understand that, but that seems like a huge difference in the... Did this have a... This is just for dust suppression, gravel... Snow removal
and salting. The salting increased our numbers quite a bit in those newly paved roads. That was a big expense. The reason why the variance as well, we didn't do the second grading dust suppression on the gravel roads this year. That's why we were able to save that money from this.
So is that an average amount that we budget
every
annually
year.
For?
Yeah. It has been for years around that number.
I just never did the math to see exactly. I've been working with these numbers with the province. That seems to be different. Thank you.
Okay. You can continue.
Okay, certainly. Thank you. So, moving to the bottom, I guess we talked about financing and transfer. So there's an expenditure differential of $416,700. And if you look at the next page, There's a small differential in sewage collection and disposal expenditures, just as they firm up the numbers for equipment maintenance and monitoring, which brings us to the bottom of our differential on our variance on our surplus of $2.2 million, which is about a 6.3% differential over our budget.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Now, we will go on to 2023-24 proposed area rates, streetlights, hydrants, and sewers. And we have Mrs. Reno. Yes.
Good morning.
Bell.
When we were given this report, we missed the section of fire hydrant rates. Is that what's going to be done now before we go to a motion? Because I do want to have a discussion on that.
Okay. Somebody else wants to speak?
No, she's going to speak.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Reno. So I'm here to talk about the area rates that we like to get pre-approval for before budget so we can put them on the new tax bill in April. Enclosed are the property budget proposed budgets for streetlights, fire hydrants, and sewer rates for the fiscal year 2023-24. The streetlights and hydrant rates are calculated based on the prior year's revenues collected minus the actual costs. The current year's property assessment and any estimated overage or shortage are included in the calculation. The sewer rates were set in December 2019 for 5 years, and this is year four of the 5 years. As part of the budget process, area rates are required to be approved by council. Streetlights and hydrant rates can be easily forecasted based on the nature of revenues and expenses. Revenues have been billed for the year, and most expenditures have been recorded. The revenues and expenditures for these rates are analyzed by me, the accounting manager, and a running total of the account balance is kept. Any surpluses or deficits from the prior year are rolled into the next year to be recovered through the area rates. The streetlight rates are detailed on the attached schedule. These rates vary slightly from year to year. The hydrant rates are increasing based on the 2022-23 actual billing amount, which was adjusted by the Public Service Commission. The sewer rates there are two rates, the global rate and the Hebbville rate. The approved five-year rates are 43 cents per 100 of assessment for the global rate and 25 cents per 100 of assessment for the Hebbville rate. As per past practice, council is asked to approve the sewer rates annually. So the recommendation to the Finance Committee is that Municipal Council approve the 2023-24 fire hydrant rate of 0.1713 per 100 of assessment, the street lights as presented on the attached, and the sewer rates as discussed. Thank you, Angela. Councillor Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When it comes to fire hydrant rates, I want to have a discussion certainly before next year. And if a one-year notice needs to be given to somebody, then we need to have that discussion. I'm not asking necessarily to change a motion this here currently. But if you look at fire hydrant rates paid by MODL, they're recovered from an area rate that really hides the real cost of fire service. Now, Ridgewood Drive in Hebbville, does that have any fire hydrants? I know that there is one at the Hebbville Fire Station, and the fire department wants that. It's a benefit to them for filling trucks, etc. But at one time, there was a discussion of that we may have fire hydrants on Ridgewood Drive based on the way a water main went, but I don't know that any were installed there. So that's a question that I have. And then if I could go further, if Walden or Laconia Fire Department wanted to put dry hydrants in, and we've had others like Day Spring that have done that, mm-hmm. that cost is, the responsibility of that cost is by the fire department in the jurisdiction that shows coverage for that particular area. It comes out of the fire service costs. So when we collect a separate area rate, instead of, for example, Northfield paying for their own hydrants, they're collecting twice for fire service, but part of the real cost is being hidden. The other fire departments that put in hydrants on their own pay for it 100% themselves, either from the tax money they collect from their area rate. So New Germany, if they wanted to put a dry hydrant by the lake up there, they would have to budget that and pay for it. They don't have the privilege of having the municipality collect it separately on an area rate, even though it's to benefit the people in their area. So I think that fire service costs should be covered by the fire department. So let's say that this particular year and with the construction that is happening, that Northfield Fire Department has six new hydrants added to their area. They pay nothing. Fire department pays nothing. Who else uses the fire hydrants other than the fire department to provide fire protection? Now, nobody would argue that a fire hydrant is a very good benefit to have. I'd like to have one on my front lawn. But the cost needs to be shown where it really is, because I use Walden and Laconia as examples because they're struggling to provide costs that provide fire protection in their area. And then another area that collects hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars doesn't have to pay for the fire hydrants. So I think this is a discussion that we need to have. And do we have it as council at a future meeting? But like I said, I'm not trying to change something mm-hmm. that's on the floor here mm-hmm. now. But I think that before this comes, we're in year four. Mm-hmm. Next year is a negotiation year. I think this is something that needs to be put in a future agenda. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Our Director of Finance has told me that a report will be brought back on this subject. Okay, Mayor Bolovagetson?
Yes, I think that's I was going to actually say that it would be good to bring it back with the sewer rates when everything comes back, that we have an opportunity to look at this and explore what options are out there. Do we expect to see the sewer rates back here sooner rather than later? We're in year four.
Say this again. Do we expect what?
The sewer rates. Do we expect to see that back here?
Yes, you will see that back here probably after the budget's passed.
Okay.
We'll look at it because you'll be in year five.
All right. Thank you.
Councillor Statton, then Councillor Haysom.
Thank you, Chairperson. I totally agree with what Martin is saying. The rates that the fire departments charge should cover the expenses for the hydrants, and it should be very clear to the residents what they're paying and not be hidden in another way so that they're not clear what they're paying. When you're looking at me kind of strange, Kathy, when I say it's hidden, it means that the fire departments are not paying directly for what they're getting, and it should be very clear to the taxpayers what they're paying for, because they're paying through their property taxes, and then they're paying a fire rate, and it's not really clear what exactly the fire rate should be if it was covering the expenses of the hydrants. That's all. I'll go into that a bit later. I know you're looking confused, and that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at Ms. Angela. Okay.
It's a separate rate charged to the residents, the people who, the businesses that are in the area that would use the fire hydrant. It's not really hidden.
So the businesses in this area pay the fire hydrant rate?
The fire hydrant rates are just in Cookeville and McCullough Road.
Okay.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that. I thought everyone was charged a fire rate on their property tax, and that was it.
Elena?
I guess to clarify that, Councillor Statton, yes, everyone is charged a fire rate on their tax bill, but the businesses in this Cookeville area would have an additional hydrant rate on top of the fire rate.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Oh, yes. Sorry, Councillor Haysom.
Thank you. So I just want to be clear. So the sewer rates are going to stay the same this year because it's the decision is made for a number of years.
Correct.
So given all of the upcoming wastewater costs that we have, is there or has there ever been in the past an interrupter clause for some of those area rates would be one question. And is it something that perhaps we should consider? The second question is, and maybe you can just clarify for me, I'm trying to understand why some of the streetlight rates are going up for some areas and some are going down. If you could just explain that for me again.
Because in the prior year, there was a surplus or a deficit because something might not have been captured when the budget was done. So that surplus or deficit has been carried forward and has been included in the current in the next year's rate.
Go ahead.
So give me an example here. So I'm looking at Vogler's Cove, Broad Cove, and Cherry Hill. The approved rate was $44.21 per streetlight, but now it's $53.62 per streetlight. What would the difference in usage or collection of that streetlight be to justify an increase of almost $10?
So at the end of 2021-22, there was a deficit of $1,200. The revenue for fiscal 2023 was $16,490, but our expenses were actually $18,752. I'm sorry, it was a surplus at the end of 2022. So help me, Elena.
Yeah, no, okay, that's certainly. So what we do, if this one is a hard one because it's a very small group of properties, so it's per property. It's not per assessment, right? So you have so many properties, 60. Is there 60 of them? It's not very many.
Collaborated properties is 373.
Okay, so 373 properties. So we say, okay, the streetlight revenue we expect to get based on the assessment or based on the number of properties is this, excuse me. So here's, we take that number. Then we say, okay, how much is the streetlights going to cost us this year? And so we estimate it. And then at the end of the year, we say, do we overcollect or undercollect? So we take that number and we carry it forward. So this is just a basic calculation based on the number of properties and the cost to provide the service.
Okay, so just to be clear, the deficit was coming from the actual cost of operating those streetlights. Okay, thank you.
Yes, that's right. We use budget in the year we calculate it, and we use the prior year's actual. So when it gets adjusted, that will make a change.
No one online has a question? No.
I would ask Deputy Mayor Hobley to make this motion, please.
Yes, thank you. To the Chair and members of Finance Committee, I move that the Finance Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council approve the 2023-24 fire hydrant rate at 0.1713 per $100 of assessment, the 2023-24 streetlight rate as presented, the 2023-24 sewer rate at 43 cents per $100 of assessment for global rate and 25 cents for $100 of assessment for Hebville rate, and I so move.
Seconder? Seconded by Councillor DeLong. Discussion?
Question.
All those in favor? Councillor Greek?
Yes.
Councillor Statton?
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously. All right, what time do we have? Okay, so we are going to do 11.2.1 Strategic Priorities 2023 to 2025, and we have Tom.
Alex is on.
Oh.
No, I'm going to do it.
Okay,
you are. Okay. Yep. So Alex may be available to help answer questions, but he's a bit under the weather today, so I'm going to present the report, which is in your package. This is the reports on strategic priorities, and staff are suggesting to council that we reset the strategic priorities and that we look at four large bundles. And we're looking at growing on the new vision for the municipality that was adopted as part of MODL 2040, and then also the values that followed through with that. So under the discussion section at page 3, the new vision statement and the increased focus on large-term projects is what we're suggesting. And the strategic priorities that we're looking at fall into four large project groupings. The largest, or likely the largest, is the Osprey Village Growth Center. So as council is aware, we have an incredible amount of growth taking place in and around Osprey Village with a whole host of residential development, institutional development, commercial development, sewer treatment plant upgrades, likely some beautification, streetlights, and a water tower.
Hmm.
So it's a huge focus of most staff in the building moving all these projects forward. So we're suggesting that one of the strategic priorities be the Osprey Village Growth Center. And we're suggesting that just because we're focusing on four large projects doesn't mean that we won't pick up and move smaller projects forward. But for budgeting purposes, these four bundles or these four large-scale projects will drive the budget process, they'll drive staff allocation of time, and they'll reflect what in essence is the primary focus of the municipality. The second is, and a clever play on words, recreate, playing on the word recreate, for the parks.
Good one.
I'm not sure who came up with that, but it was not me.
No, I didn't think.
It had to be explained to me at least twice to really catch up on it. So council has given us fairly clear direction that we need to focus on parks, we need to focus on park standards, and we have to focus on making sure that those parks are available for the public and public use. So we have in process the parks standards that are coming to council. In our capital budget, you're going to see a lot of park projects. So when I say parks, trails, open space, everything that would fall under the Director of Recreation, Tourism, and Parks.
Hang on one second.
Sorry.
Councillor DeLong.
I definitely support this, but I have a question about the recreate. Is that a branding choice, or is that something we're using internally? Because I feel like it's going to require explanation to the public as well if it's a branding choice.
So it was. It's for internal discussion. We were looking for a snappy phrase to try to get people interested in recreating parks.
That's just fine. But perfect. if we're putting it out in the public, it's going to need a little bit more.
I don't think we're branding it at this point. But
okay, thank you.
I'll leave that to people that are in the communication side.
All right, thank you. Go ahead.
So the next item is the climate action change. So again, council has given staff instruction. We have created the position for our sustainability specialist. We have created the climate action plan through the sustainability committee. We're looking at projects to move that forward. You're going to see that again in the capital budget. And so we think it's only natural that one of the large project groups would involve the climate change action plan. So that would be number 3. And then number 4 is MODL 2040, so our large-scale municipal-wide planning project. And as we've experienced just in the last while with unregulated campgrounds and RV parks going up, as well as the use of phased development, bare land condominiums in areas where we don't have zoning, we have a sense, I think, or council has a sense of what kinds of issues we have to address as we move forward. So in addition to the five provincial statements of interest, we also have sort of the operational on-the-ground requirements of trying to ensure that we minimize land use conflict amongst our residents in the various areas of the municipality. So in addition to all the policy work and the staffing work, we also have some plans coming out of MODL 2040 that will require significant resources over the next 2 years on the timeline that the province gave us, more likely 3 years, mm-hmm. When we take into account all of the work that was done. And you'll see that there's been an invitation out to council members on the workshops that are coming up for MODL 2040. Mm-hmm. So the approach that staff have taken there, we pick topic subject matter areas, we have discussion points, and then we have a list of staff members from various departments that will be involved. So we're taking a multidisciplinary approach to move all of these discussions forward. Planning staff will then take all that information, put it into a municipal planning strategy and a land use bylaw, and sometime between now and 2025, council will pass a comprehensive municipal-wide planning strategy. Mm. It's also just important, and I'll note again, that just because we are moving from fairly focused strategic priorities where you could actually identify individual projects to four larger groups, it doesn't mean we're going to ignore smaller projects or respond to them as they come up. It's just that the focus of council and the focus of the budget will be down to those four large bundles. Process revision, because we're changing the approach and focusing on large-scale strategic multi-year projects, we're suggesting that we'll review the priorities every 4 years with a midterm check-in at the conclusion of council's second year in a four-year council term. Mm-hmm. So council will set at the beginning. We'll review it in the middle. It'll end with the end of council, and we'll start again mm-hmm. with the new council. And it's likely that, like, MODL 2040 is going to go to 2025. Osprey Village is a five-year build when you take everything into account. The recreate or recreate parks is likely going to be ongoing. So mm-hmm. all of these things are likely to continue. But we think that these four bundles fairly accurately reflect where we're putting staff resources and budget. Yeah. If there are any questions, I'll try to answer, and if I can't, and if Alex isn't able, we'll bring it back to council. There is a recommended motion that we're mm-hmm. asking that the Finance Committee recommend to council that Municipal Council approve the strategic priorities for 23-25 as presented. So again, it's not just 1 year, it's 2 years.
Okay. Questions? Councillor Greig, Councillor Staton, any questions? Okay. I would ask, and well, I'll ask Councillor DeLong if she would put this motion on the floor.
Certainly. Thank you, Chair. To the Chair and members of the Finance Committee, I move that the Finance Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council approve the strategic priorities for 2023 through 2025 as presented. I so move.
And seconded by Councillor Vino, and we do have Councillor Staton. Go ahead, Sandra.
I was just going to second the motion, but that's fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Thank
so,
you.
All right. Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? Councillor Greig?
Yes.
Councillor Staton?
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously. Okay, so we now have no added items. We have no one cameras. So we are going to adjourn this meeting, and we will take a break. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. Oh, we're not going to adjourn the meeting because we're going to just take a break until 10:15. That's what we're doing. Okay. So sorry, Councilor Wynum.